Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is Tuesday, and we have the Blueprint Power Hour. Coach Rob Regish will join me in a moment as my co-host for. But before we do that, we have to, of course, pay homage to our title sponsor, and that's Legendary Foods. The cake-style tasty pastries are taking the sports nutrition industry by storm. Less than 1 gram of sugar, 20 grams of high-quality protein. They taste like you're eating junk, but you're not. Go to shrnetwork.biz/legendary. Use the code SHR10. They have so many great flavors. Blueberry, brown sugar cinnamon, strawberry, Elise's favorite. Birthday cake. I can't even keep up with all the flavors. The cookies and cream they just introduced. The outside looks like a Oreo cookie. Like the cookie of an Oreo cookie, the chocolate part, and inside, delicious cream. And it tastes like it's loaded with sugar, but they're not. And you can also win some. We give lots away, more than one a day. Lots of boxes we're giving away. Listen during the commercial break for the secret word. Email the secret word along with your address to onair@superhumanradio.net, and you could be the proud recipient of a box of tasty pastries in your home. And without further delay, I'll get my guest on and play his theme music real quick. Here we go.
Calling all Blueprint Army, fall in line. It's time for the Blueprint Power Hour with Coach Rob Regish on the Superhuman Radio Network.
How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing terrific. It's 62 degrees here in the Northeast, and apparently we're finally beyond the snowfall.
That's our summer this year. You know, global warming, it ain't happening. Yep. It's not happening here, at least.
And it's not here either.
So yesterday morning, I get up, go to my trusty BMW, turn the key, and it goes, I'm like, oh, great, dead battery. I don't know why. I have no time to figure out why. I got to get to the gym and train because I'm on a mission for the next year to train every day I'm supposed to train. And so I got a motorcycle, but it's 41 degrees out. I bundle up. I get on the bike. I ride it to the gym. I train. By the time I leave the gym, it's about 49. That's more tolerable. Right. Same thing today. I didn't want to fool with, I got home too late last night to fool with the battery. I said, well, I'm riding the bike. It was 47 degrees when I left the house this morning. It'll be about 62 or 63 later today, but that's still no summer weather. That's hardly spring weather, really.
Now, you know, I'll tell you what. When we have a no-snow winter, then I'll acknowledge global warming is actually happening. You know what? It's a long winter up here in the Northeast. What can you say?
I know. And, you know, and this is my frustration. And you know, that's why the woke crowd have changed their terminology from global warming to climate change. Well, hell, the climate changes four times a year. Like, come on, give me a friggin' break. You know what I mean?
The climate's been changing since the beginning of the time. Planet.
That's right.
So, I don't know. What are you going to do?
That's all you can do. How's your training going?
My trainer is going really well. I have returned from a week or week and a half off or so. Everything's good there. You know, I'm very happy with the progress I'm making on getting the muscle stronger. And now it's just a matter of, you know, the connective tissue is keeping pace.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is an issue as you get older, connective tissue.
Yeah.
So Mike Demers says, by the way, ask your questions live. So if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, just post your questions. We'll work them into the show. Mike Diemer says, I saw a new study on ECDI, really, or paper, where it didn't work for elderly rats. No increases in strength, muscle, or anabolic markers. What's your opinion on ECT now?
Well, I'll tell you my position.
What's your opinion now, you old fart, you?
My opinion now is the same as it was before seeing the study. And let me also add this. It is painfully clear that there are more than a few researchers out there who don't understand this compound, or should I say family of compounds. And it really shows in their study design, which we'll go over here. So the study he's referring to was published in January of this year. And the title of that study is Phytoectosteroids Do Not Have Anabolic Effects in Skeletal Muscle in Sedentary Aging Mice. So, what to make of this study? After reading through it, there are several problems, key big problems, and they are as follows. Problem number one is the material, the ectosterone used in this study. They used turkesterone, which on the surface isn't a problem, but where did they get it? They got it from Spain. Real turkesterone, as found in the plant Ajuga turkestanica, comes out of Uzbekistan in Russia. Specifically, the ICPS out there, Institute of Chemistry and Plant Sciences, certifies the turkesterone, has tested turkesterone from other places, such as China, such as India, and it doesn't have the same actives. Why? Well, different climate, different soil, you know. In those other countries, it produces a plant with noticeably inferior spectrums, for example, of the active ingredients.
I want to stop you here for a second.
Yep.
Because every single person in this audience knows of this phenomenon, and I can prove it. We all know that wine from Napa Valley tastes different than wine from Louisville, Kentucky. Why? It's the soil. It's the terrain. We know that wine from France tastes different from wine from Italy. Why? Because it's the soil. It's the terrain. It's the dirt. So when you buy plant based materials from the country where the research has been done that created the original platform for our interest in this product, and then you buy some other stuff from China or some other country, and you go, well, it didn't work. Well, of course it didn't work. Otherwise, we'd be getting the same money for bottles of wine from Indiana as we are from France.
Yeah, right. It'd be great, wouldn't it?
I can't believe people are shocked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, so that's problem number one. Problem number two is they did something very peculiar with that turkesterone. They standardized it for 20-hydroxyectosterone only, kind of extracted that and gave that to people by itself. And the best I can tell, they took the rest of what was left and tested that on another group of people. So it's very difficult to say, for example, even how much 20H or turkesterone they got out of it. Typically, turkesterone will test out at about 0.69% actual turk. And the 20-hydroxy content comes out to be usually 1.3%. Because they didn't specify that, it's likely the total ectosterone content in this Spanish turkesterone is quite inferior to the real stuff. So they gave 20H to one group. Another one got the rest of the ectosterones, and I think there was another control group. Now, why on God's green earth you would do that is beyond me. It's another example, in my opinion, of the hand of man meddling in nature, because he thinks he knows what the actives are. In almost every respect in natural products, I think that's a big mistake. Problem number three, the subjects performed no exercise whatsoever. Even the authors themselves, when discussing the results, came to this realization, saying the anabolic effect of phytoectosteroids may be realized when the skeletal muscle is placed under a stress, such as skeletal muscle regeneration model reported by Toth et al. And then it cites a study back in 2008 that said it. So, you know, what's going on here? Mother Nature offers no free lunch, right? And you see this in studies done on everything from ginsenosides to ecdysterone. Unlike anabolic agents, anabolic steroids, there is a fundamental requirement with these compounds for exercise to get the benefits of it. And that finding is entirely consistent, by the way, with what I've been saying for well over a decade. Here's a quote from the original blueprint in 2009. I said, if there's no physiological stress to adapt to, it is only logical then that adaptogens will perform suboptimally or not at all. So, you know, that was the other big, big problem with it. The conclusions basically said, look, just as he said, no muscle growth, no increase in anabolic markers, no decrease in catabolic markers, you know, nothing basically. Well, what does that tell us? To me, it just validates everything that I've been saying on here for years. You know, how many years have I been coming on here saying 20-hydroxyecdysterone is the wrong one? It doesn't do jack. Turkesterone, I discussed that as recently as a month ago after yet another test that I ran on myself from 1.5 to 2 grams a day for 8 weeks. Results? There were none. There was nothing in the gym. There was nothing on my blood work. Okay, quite different than my experience with full spectrum ropontacum. So as you sum up the study, they used a piss poor turkesterone extract from the wrong place. They overly standardized it for ecdysterones that are inferior. And number three, the subjects performed no exercise. If you can't see how horribly flawed this study is and its conclusions, then frankly, there's no hope for you. Either that or you had an opinion going in and you were looking to validate.
And this supports your opinion, so you like the study, right?
Yeah. I mean, in, as I looked at it the third time, because I wanted to make sure, it was quite likely the worst design study on ecdysterone since a study was done at Baylor back, I think, in the early 2000s. And that was on a combination ecdysterone, what was it, the seaweed that was supposed to bind myostatin, you know, and using ecdy in that study at 30 milligrams a day. Well, you know what? You know, 30 milligrams of, let's say, you know, dianabol a day, or testosterone, something like that. It matters, right? How much you're giving folks.
And well, and since you invoked the testosterone word, let's not forget that early research by the medical orthodoxy said testosterone did not build muscle.
Yes.
Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Right? And then SIBA came and then SIBA came out with dianabol, and they even said, well, dianabol doesn't build muscle either. But when they started taking 100, 150 milligrams a day, all of a sudden, lo and behold, muscle appeared. So, yeah, you know, you got to be careful. Yeah. Science is subject to dispute and analysis. And that's why real science is reproducible and right. People can defend their position with other scientists. No one wants to right. defend their position. Nowadays, if you don't agree with my science, I'm going to cancel you.
Right, right. And you know, also one study is not a definitive statement on any compound, okay? The reality is, when you look at ecdysterone in its totality, its benefits have been validated now by multiple groups of scientists in several dozen studies in almost a dozen countries over more than 4 decades, right? It's been done on multiple continents, everywhere from Russia to Japan to Hungary to the good old USA. Studies are still going on at Rutgers. And it's been shown to work in three places, the test tube in rats and in humans out in the real world, where it stood the ultimate test, the test of time. So I would encourage you to look at it through that lens and not just one study. But I think almost everyone can agree that even knows the subject a little bit, this study was very poor, and it negates its findings.
And you have to wonder what their agenda was.
Right.
Why would they knowingly do this? Why do they want to shoot down ECDI? That's the real question.
Yeah, and who knows? It may be that someone in Spain wants to sell their stuff on the open market, and another party is subverting them, or thinks they are, by putting this study out there. It could be a number of reasons.
Or it's very popular to be contrary today. So
yeah.
We all know that lifting weights builds strength and muscle. And someone comes out with a study that shows a 10-year meta-analysis and review of the research shows that lifting weights does not build muscle and strength. And people are going to go read it. They're going to read it even though they know it's not true, because they're going to say, what could this be about? You have to remember, we live in a world of publicity today. Social media, clickbait, exactly. And so there's a lot of people out there dying to publish a paper, dying to get funded, and they'll do papers like this, silly papers like this, just to be contrary, just to be contrary.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The next question comes from Jack Lanza, Mario's brother. You don't know who you remember Mario Lanza, the actor? You don't remember him, do you?
No, I don't know. Before my time, maybe.
You're not that much younger than me. How do you develop your calves? Mine just won't grow. Nothing I do works. High reps, low reps. I've even tried all sorts of angles. Is it a lost cause?
Well, you're asking the right guy, because I did not get calves in my genetics. Far from it. And I think it's fair to say that more than any other muscle group, right, calves, if you don't have the genetics, are going to resist most conventional measures of how people build muscles with weights. And that doesn't make growing them impossible, but it does require something very different, in my opinion. Because the calves are used to carrying, they're used to a lot of work, right? Because they carry you around all day long. And especially if you consider, and I think you need to look at it this way, every step you take is a rep. So think about that, you know, as you're looking at it again in its totality. Where I have seen stubborn calves grow, I have always seen at least one of three things going on. First, people who carry more weight have bigger calves, right? We talked about this before.
Fat people have beautiful calves. They're like big, huge calves, right? Right.
And so there's a clue there. All right. So continuing on, that of course goes hand in hand with the weight you carry around. So even a 10-pound gain in body weight is a major stress for the calves to adapt to. Because think about it. It gets back to my example of every step that you take is a repetition. Now, multiply that by 10 times and you start to get a feeling for how it is a stimulus.
In fact, I'd like to point something else out to prove your point. It's a phenomenon that I call occupational hypertrophy. I first discovered it when I was a young boy working on the racetrack. Blacksmiths who are right-handed have right forearms like Popeye, and they have left forearms like their wives. And it's like, wow, from swinging that hammer, the blood rushing into that hand, the grip holding onto that hammer. I'll guarantee that I can make every single person in this audience think of me this summer. This summer, when you're at the beach or when you see people wearing shorts, this is most noticeable on guys, I will guarantee you their right calf is bigger than their left. You'll go, oh my God, Carl's right. Your wife will go, what are you talking about? Oh, no, never mind. Because that's from pumping your gas pedal and your brake all day long. I'm telling you, there's no other reason for it. Why is everyone's right calf better developed, the gastroc I'm talking about, right, than the left? Because driving, you're doing this all day long, boom, 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 boom. Occupational hypertrophy.
Probably so, because I can't think of another instance where you're just using your right calf. But be that as it may, this even slight gain in body weight can add to growth of the calves. And so in that instance, I would recommend you wear a weight vest where possible and just wear it around during the day. Or, you know, when you go to work and obviously you can't be wearing a weight vest, do what I did. Put a 10-pound weight in the small of your back. Presto, you know, solved. It adds up, and it certainly adds up over the weeks, months, and years. I also recommend a pretty, you know, that kind of drastic increase in functional reps. Look at long-distance bikers. I've never seen a bad set of calves on those athletes. I wouldn't want the rest of their build, but as far as calves go, they've always got them, and usually in, you know, in spades. And then finally, the other thing that I've seen work and work well is a what would be considered by most a severe stress, right, for the calves. Whether that's an extremely heavy static hold, or when you run in strength shoes, it certainly doesn't, you know, your calves get the message. Up to nine times your body weight is shifted onto your calves when you're running in those shoes. So in either case, though, right, the heavy statics or certainly running in those, please take my advice. Go slowly. Overdoing it can and will leave you feeling crippled, or worse, you know, you're going to rupture something, right, that isn't ready yet, like your ankle, Achilles tendon, you know, maybe a knee. But when performed correctly and gradually, both methods, I think, yield far superior results to conventional weight training. And, you know, beyond that, certainly prioritizing calves by training them first in the workout.
Or have a calf day. So
yeah,
high reps work and statics work. And so train your calves. I know people who just train their calves. You know, this is this is one of the lost values of bodybuilding training. You train the weak link in your physique first, and you give it its own day. So if you have shoulders that you need to build, you train just shoulders on a day. You don't Yep. train it with chest and back or whatever. So if you have weak calves and you want to bring them up, go in and put an hour of straight calf work in. Watch what happens in a couple months. Just watch.
Yeah, and invest in a tape measure. The other good news is that they're easy to measure. I do that once every 2 weeks or so and evaluate a method based upon using it over 6 to 8 weeks. If it's working, great. If it's not, ditch it and move on to something else.
Yeah, good advice. So the next question comes from a friend of mine, Brian Hildebrand. Brian says, does Synthogen need to be taken with creatine, or should I stagger those two? What does Synthogen do that creatine doesn't? And I guess I'd ask the opposite as well. Best way to take both? Also, I went to buy some Synthogen a few days ago and it was sold out. When will it be back?
Well, okay, so a lot to unpack here. So, you know, let me get to the out of stock issue first, and then I'll get to the rest of your questions. It is a fact, Mass sold out of Synthogen several days ago. And John Drake, the CEO, sent two or three, I think, emails saying stock was getting low. I knew something was up because even if you're subscribing to his newsletter, you only hear from him once a month, maybe every other month. So when I got two or three of these in rapid succession, I texted him. I said, what's going on? He said, we are legitimately very, very low on stock. So if you've got folks that want it, you know, try to get the word out. Unfortunately, many people, I think, thought this was just, you know, PR. This is marketing. And now they have to wait until it gets back in stock. I honestly don't have a date or ETA on when it's going to be back. And even if I did, it's problematic because, in my opinion, you just can't trust the labs today. I've seen this over and over. Typically, if you were to come up with an ETA, or I was, I add 2 to 4 weeks to whatever estimate they give me. And that usually, you know, turns out to be the case. Having said that, I know there is a big run of it that is due in shortly, and I'll define that as within a month or so. The reason being is this summer is the 10-year anniversary of Synthogen going up for sale, and that's something I'm immensely proud of. Yeah, it's something I'm really proud of, which I'll go into elsewhere. But let's get to the Synthogen and creatine questions. First, there are a lot of folks that like to use both concurrently, right? Given they're both highly complementary. But there are other people like me that prefer to use them separately. Why? You know, to me, it's just a real nice feeling knowing there is another, right, honest to goodness supplement that is going to help me get better results faster right around the corner. Okay. Creatine's benefits, they go far beyond muscle building. And honestly, you know, there doesn't appear to be an end in sight. What I think is relevant here and the real standout is it boosts hypertrophy, and it does it better than any other product. And it does so more economically than just about any other product. Now, we can talk all day about cell volumization, the increase in DHT, increase in IGF-1, more satellite cell activation. And those are all great things. But it's accelerating muscle growth that is, like most people, natural people, not using drugs are using it. And even folks that are using drugs. Synthogen's forte, on the other hand, is just dramatically accelerating recovery. Almost everyone that tries it will tell you it's night and day training with and without it. It is also much better than creatine at quote-unquote wound healing and or, you know, injury repair. That I did not design it that way. It's just it's a happy coincidence. So if you're using both, you're going to get both of those effects, and it makes training a lot more productive, as you can imagine. If you stagger the two, I'd recommend Synthogen and a good tribulus product like Tribestin for a number of reasons, and then creatine solo or trimethylglycine added to it. The best way to take creatine, in my opinion, is just 5 grams a day. If you're using creatine mono, 5 grams a day with food. If you're using Crealkaline or creatine hydrochloride, you know, 1.5 to 2.5 grams a day, rather, again, with food is going to be most people's sweet spot. Synthogen is best dosed at 10 caps immediately pre-workout and then 5 more immediately post. Most people, that's going to be at max dose. You should back down from there, finding your lowest effective dose. Most people will do fine on just 10. You know, they get all the recovery they need. I am increasingly of the opinion that the first bottle needs to be used every day. Like, I recently went back and did that and was surprised at my performance in the gym, you know, just 4 days after doing it. So there's benefit to doing that. The second and third bottles, frankly, you can use those on training days only. It'll help stretch your supply considerably. Both great products, both with many different uses, and that's how I would use them.
We have a question that needs to be answered when we come back from this break. And it's from Craig Hollander about training calves. I want to get back to it. It's a very, very good question. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll pick it up. You're listening to and watching the Blueprint Power Hour here on Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We shall return. You've heard us talk about the power of copper peptides here on the show. Now try it yourself with RestoraCell's amazing new skincare line built on the power of blue copper peptides. All natural, organic, made in the USA, and safe for sensitive skin. Save 30% on their Stem Cell Awakening Serum. Go to shrnetwork.biz/RestoraCell. That's RestoraCell. And use code SHR to save 30% off. Remodel your skin today. Being superhuman means being conscientious about the choices we make. White Oak Pastures is superhuman when it comes to raising livestock. They're committed to animal welfare, land regeneration, and rural revival. They responsibly manage the entire process from the pasture to your doorstep. High quality, pasture raised, great tasting meat from a farm you can trust. Full nose to tail selections. They even have options for your pet. Go to shrnetwork.biz/whiteoak and use code SHR20 to save 20% off your entire first order.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Egg whites. Every day, there's a new wellness trend. Eat that. Do this. Avoid those. How do you know where to start or who to trust? Inside Tracker helps you cut through the noise by analyzing your blood, your DNA, your lifestyle, and your fitness tracker to provide you with a science-backed, trackable action plan on how to live, age, and perform better. Personalized one-size-fits-one recommendations to help you optimize you. For a limited time, Inside Tracker is offering Superhuman Radio listeners 25% off the entire store. Go to shrnetwork.biz/InsideTracker, InsideTracker, to save 25% off. Change begins on the inside. If there is one mineral you should be worried about not getting enough of, it's magnesium. Magnesium is the body's master mineral, powering over 300 critical reactions, including detoxification, fat metabolism, energy, and even digestion is influenced by the presence of magnesium. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about a new magnesium product I've been taking now called Magnesium Breakthrough. It's the ultimate magnesium supplement. Easily the best I've ever seen or experienced. With all 7 forms of magnesium, I was able to arrange an amazing deal for my audience, and I guarantee it's the best deal available on this product. Seriously, with volume discounts combined with our custom 10% coupon code SHR10, you can save up to 40% off select packages of Magnesium Breakthrough. And I promise that this deal is only available on this specific website, magbreakthrough.com/SHR. You won't find that deal on Amazon or even on the company's own website. Go to magbreakthrough.com/SHR and use code SHR10 to save up to 40% off select packages of Magnesium Breakthrough. TaylorMade Health is focused on making sure you're able to perform and look your best. They are a leader in game-changing supplements and cosmetic products. Whether you want to increase strength, expedite recovery, facilitate soft tissue repair, or reduce deep wrinkles, TaylorMade Health has you covered. TaylorMade Health is also the home to Dr. Seed's products such as BPC, BPC Plus, and the Chill Pill. All of my listeners can now get 20% off their first order with code TRY20. That's TRY20. This code can even be used on subscription orders. Visit shrnetwork.biz/try20 today and use code TRY20 for 20% off your first order.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Hey, welcome back. Sorry that took so long. My green screen. This green screen is crazy. I get it all dialed in before the show. I literally move 1 inch this way during a commercial break, and I become a ghost, and I just disappear. It's the weirdest thing. It never fails. Okay, we got lots of good questions. Let me do this first. This is really good. So this is from Craig Hollander. He says, why does the calf need a different approach than other muscles? And I'm going to tell you in short, in very, very short sentences here. Because no muscle in your body gets the workload that your calves do. Not even your quads. Not even your quads. Your calves require heroic work to get them to change shape. Because they think about it, like Rob said, you're going up and down stairs all day. You're walking. You walk to your car. You walk in. You walk out. You reach all day long. Your calves are working harder than any other muscles in your body. If you really want them to grow, you got to get their friggin' attention. And you're not going to do it by, you know, just doing three sets of 15 calf raises. I don't care if you have 400 pounds on your back.
I would concur with every word of that. The muscles in your calves are not fundamentally different, per se, than muscle elsewhere.
Well, they actually may be. They may be almost all exclusively fast twitch muscle fibers.
Well, I think most people would identify as being mostly fast twitch, but be that as it may, it takes a different, more severe stress, in my opinion, to give them the message, wake up and grow. It's just how it is.
Now, look at this. Dave Elliston, who I believe lives in Australia. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I apologize. He started walking 90 minutes a day. This is a lot of walking. I walked 4 miles with Aaron Singerman when I was in Nashville recently, and we walked through a nature preserve. So this wasn't walking on pavement. This was like, you know, navigating tree roots and hills and mudslides and everything. And it took us exactly an hour to walk 4 miles. He's walking 90 minutes a day. He's got to be doing 15,000 steps a day when he combines that with his normal movement. Sure, he says, and my calves grew an inch. Because that's heroic work for your calves to walk 90 minutes a day, plus whatever else you do.
Yeah, and now imagine doing that with a 20-pound weight vest.
And you know what? I'm going to do it. I have a weight vest, but I bought one that's too heavy. I got to order a lighter one. I got one that starts out at 40 pounds. And it's just a little bit too much for me to walk around the neighborhood with right now. I got to get a lighter one.
I bought my son a 60-pound one, and I wish I didn't, because, frankly, when you pick it up to put it on, you know, your shoulders are put in a very precarious position, in my opinion. So we're very careful with how we do that. But, yeah, weight vest, good investment. Just don't buy too heavy of a weight vest.
Now, mine does go up to 80, but the vest has 40, and then it has another 40 pounds of weights that you could put in the slots. Yeah. But even I say 40 is too hard, too heavy, even for me. And I do heavy farmer's walks, but I can drop the weights and stand still for a while. When you put that thing on you, it's bearing down on you when you're standing still as well. Let me get a couple more questions in here. So Bear says, and we're going to get to everybody's questions, I promise you. My coworker, who I currently am sitting next to, is a below-the-knee amputee, left leg. How can he rebuild and develop his leg strength and size again? I see it happening every day. There's a guy on Instagram called the One-Legged Monster. He's a vet. He lost his leg in the war. Young guy. He's probably in his 30s, maybe, let's say. But he has a prosthetic leg. He deadlifts. He squats. He does everything that you and I do with a regular functioning leg. I don't think there's any magic for people who are below-the-knee amputees except to start doing the work. Really. I mean, they can balance. They have one good leg, and if they have a prosthetic leg, they know how to walk on them. They know how to balance. They just need to start using weight and doing things like squats and deadlifts and leg presses. I mean, if you have if they don't have a prosthetic leg, I don't know how you can build the quads, because in order for the quads to be activated, the lever action below the knee has to occur. So I would say that they follow this guy, One-Legged Monster, on Instagram. See what he's doing. Really?
Yeah, he could probably offer a lot more than we could. The only other thing I'd add is this. You know, let's look on the bright side. Body weight stuff isn't going to be as difficult, right? Because it's going to be at least a couple pounds, I would imagine, of lower leg that's not there. And consequently, dips and everything else, chin-ups, become easier.
And Aiden Ray's question fits nicely in here. Aiden Ray says, Vince the Guru Gironda was a big endorser of the Sissy Squat. Yes, I love the Sissy Squat. In fact, I bought a Sissy Squat platform for my home gym. And Elisa and I use it. And that's another thing that a below-the-knee amputee can use. Because don't forget, a below-the-knee amputee still has the knee, the joint, the fulcrum. So they're still going to activate the quads in a squatting movement, a squatting movement. And the Sissy Squat is an amazing, easy-to-use platform that doesn't require any weight to truly activate quad muscles. So Aiden Ray's question, I love the Sissy Squat. I have one at home. I think that for someone who's a below-the-knee amputee, if they want to just use body weight, and again, this is all predicated on you having a reliable prosthetic device, something that's made to be a little bit higher performing than just the average, you know, below-the-knee kind of it-looks-okay leg. But yeah, Sissy Squat's a great place to start for that person.
Yeah. Yep. It's the other thing that came to mind was pistols. And you would practice them the same way that anyone that can't do them yet would, including me, which is you'll stand on the right leg and you will grab a belt or other, you know, apparatus with your left arm. And what that allows you to do is two things. One, it helps you out of the bottom because you can pull on it a little bit. And two, it helps with balance. And it'll get you there. It's gotten a lot of other people from not being able to do them to do them. I've used it on many different clients. It always works the trick.
Okay, and then let's get a couple more of these live questions out of the way, and then we'll go back to the ones that were written in. The next one comes from Tommy D., big fan of the show. He wants to know your 2 cc's on bromentane optimal dosage. What is that, like bromatine? Bromentane?
I was gonna ask. You're the expert in that one.
I don't even know what bromentane is.
I vaguely remember the name, but I can't recall exactly what.
Okay,
it
hold
is.
On a second. Hold on a second. Let me just see if I can find it real quick. Yeah.
That I wonder if he meant 6-bromo.
Like 6-oxo, 6-bromo? Yeah, maybe he does. Broman, T-A-N-E. Let's see what comes up. Well, it's a supplement. Bromentane, sold under the name Ladestin, is an atypical psychostimulant and anxiolytic drug of the admantane family, related to admantine, memantine, which are used in Russia in the treatment of neurasthenia. I'm not sure what neurasthenia is. Although the effects of bromentane have been determined to be dependent on the dopaminergic and possibly serotonergic neurotransmitter system, its exact mechanism of action is unknown. I don't know anything.
I'd be interested as to how that works. I might end up taking the plunge on that. Being Captain Ephedrine, I'd like to make the comparison.
Yeah, there you go. The next question comes from Dean Paulson. He says, any thoughts on BPC-157 oral tablet and MK-677 for joint healing and osteoarthritis?
You go first. I've had great results with both. I tend to like pinning BPC-157. But there's every reason to believe that it works orally as well. I noticed a big, big difference in my severe arthritis in my right elbow. And the first time I noticed that was with BPC and then subsequently MK. I can't tell you that I've taken both. I don't know that it'll work complementary, synergistically at all. That one's a little more difficult. Answer.
BPC-157, absolutely. Very, very good. Take a half a milligram or 500 micrograms a day. Plan on taking it for a few weeks to resolve any old injury issues. Not a fan of MK-677. Used it. Got 2 bottles of it at home. Not a fan for a variety of reasons. All of the research, okay, Merck was trying to create MK-677 so that they could have an oral growth hormone secretagogue. It's a ghrelin agonist like GHRP6 and GHRP2. The problem with it is because they wanted to make it oral so people wouldn't have to inject, They were going to take the growth hormone industry by storm. Everyone would have been on growth hormone if this worked. It didn't work. Now, does it raise growth hormone? Yeah, initially, for about the first couple, 3 weeks. And then your growth hormone levels crash. Crash so bad that some of the elderly people in the original study had to quit because of the severe anxiety they developed. Because once growth hormone crashes, what little they were making, IGF-1 crashes, blood sugar management goes bonkers. Because remember, IGF-1 is helping insulin to do things with your blood sugar. And then all of a sudden, IGF-1 drops out. And if you're really old and you don't produce enough insulin, all of a sudden your blood sugar goes all over the place. So those people had to cancel. The reason it's bad is because the pituitary was never designed to produce a large amount of growth hormone continuously. The pituitary pulses. It pulses every 1.5 to 3 hours a day. It pulses to produce growth hormone. MK677 does this to the pituitary. Bam. Pituitary gives up. It goes, wait a minute. I'm not built to produce this much growth hormone. And it starts to fail. There is even some evidence that in older people, it doesn't come back. This is the same way that they treat prostate cancer. The way they treat prostate cancer is they give long-acting gonadotropin-releasing hormone analogs that turn the testes on. Because the testes pulse, too. If 6 a.m. in the morning, they pulse, and then they just drop. When they drive the testes to keep producing testosterone, the guys who are on that prostate treatment, it's called androgen deprivation therapy, they feel great for about 2 weeks. They're like, oh, this is it? This is what everybody's complaining about? And then once the balls go, we're done. We can't make any more testosterone. You get the testosterone levels of an 11-year-old girl for the next 8 to 10 months. You get fat, insulin resistant, your heart starts malfunctioning. So when you take a drug that drives a gland that's designed to pulse and make it turn on and stay on all the time, it's going to hit the wall real hard. Not a fan of MK677. You're better off using GHRP 6 and growth hormone releasing hormone 1 through 29, 100 micrograms of each. And inject that a couple, 3 times a day, you'll get better results with the tissue healing that you're looking for. And you'll get real growth hormone production. And he says, thanks a lot. New to the show, just subscribe. Thank you so much for that. And yes, have you tried Delta 8 CBD yet?
No, but I did have blood work on MK. I just wanted to add one thing.
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Add that.
I was just going to say, I too have 2 bottles of MK677 here that I'm not using for another reason. You know, I put 10 pounds of water on, even at just 25 milligrams a day, Monday through Friday. I did have blood work done on that dose, and I did show IGF-1 levels that were a little bit above the top of the range. But because of the water, I just can't do it. And
what about, you know, the lethargy? It made me tired as hell.
It did. It didn't make me terribly so, but I could tell the difference Monday through Friday while I was using it versus weekends when I wasn't.
Have you tried Delta 8 CBD yet?
No.
I have, and no. We have a spot. We have a sponsor coming aboard very shortly. I'm so excited about it. So Delta 8 THC, not Delta 9. Delta 9 THC is the one that's illegal. Found in cannabis. Delta 8 THC, which is found in CBD, not cannabis, is a psychoactive component of CBD. It makes you feel you don't get as high as you do if you just smoked a ton of weed, but you definitely feel a great buzz. You sleep well, and it actually makes pain go away to a certain degree. And it's legal, so you're not breaking any laws. And we have gummies coming, edibles, 25 milligrams. Really, you just need half. You take half, you'll sleep good, you'll feel good. If you're going out on a Friday night or a Saturday night and you don't want to drink, you could take a whole one. You'll have a buzz, you'll feel great. I like it a lot, and I do use it. I use it periodically throughout the week when I think I'm not going to be able to sleep, or if I don't want to consume alcohol, but I want to say, be socially lubricated because I'm going out. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I think it's great. And my only fear is so many people love it. When will the FDA come and try to stop us?
Right, right. I'd like to try it, too, for the record. Do they know if it shows up on a drug screen, like for work?
Don't know. Don't know. Don't know. I'm looking to see if there's any other questions we need to get up here. Okay, this is our buddy in South Africa, Andre. He says, hey, Coach and Carl, I've seen research showing that one shouldn't take creatine with caffeine as the latter inhibits absorption of creatine. What is your view?
My opinion is that it does not interfere with creatine so long as it's taken 6 to 8 hours away from it and, you know, is taken in a dose that doesn't cause, obviously, a diuretic effect. You know, the original studies versus the subsequent ones still disagree, right, with each other, whether it affects it or not. That's my personal belief. If I'm using creatine, I'm putting it at least several hours away from caffeine use.
I'm completely off caffeine. I can honestly say proudly that I don't even drink tea. In fact, I was going to have a drink this morning and it had caffeine. It had coffee fruit extract in it. And I Googled, does it have a caffeine in it? And it said it has only 0.4% caffeine, which is equivalent to about 4 milligrams compared to 120. Yeah. And I was like, nah, I don't want caffeine anymore. I'm done with caffeine. Scott Lawless says MK677 can also have a toxic reagent left in that only NMR testing can detect. So that's not good, if you're a pro athlete, at least. And he said he didn't realize it had a fatigue state for MK. We'll have to find more studies. MK is, it is trash. Listen, if MK677 was good,
they would have used it.
Merck would have a multi-billion, maybe a trillion-dollar product because all the baby boomers would buy MK677 and use it. But it failed on so many levels in the testing studies that they did that they didn't bring it to market. What does that tell you? What does that tell you?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So let's see where we are. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have more of the write-in questions, and please feel free to continue to post your questions. We'll get them all done, and we'll also get the blueprint tip of the day. And stay tuned. We'll be right back. Remember those rectangular toaster pastries you used to love when you were a kid? Well, Legendary Foods has just made them better. The new cake-style tasty pastry is like nothing you've ever had before. With 20 grams of high-quality protein and less than 1 gram of sugar, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to shrnetwork.biz/legendary and use the code SHR10 to save 10% off your purchase of tasty pastries. Now available in cookies and cream, red velvet cake, birthday cake, blueberry, strawberry, brown sugar cinnamon, and hot fudge sundae. Go to shrnetwork.biz/legendary and use code SHR10 today. You've heard us talk about the power of copper peptides here on the show. Now try it yourself with RestoraCell's amazing new skincare line built on the power of blue copper peptides. All natural, organic, made in the USA and safe for sensitive skin. Save 30% on their stem cell awakening serum. Go to shrnetwork.biz/RestoraCell. That's RESTORACELL. And use code SHR to save 30% off. Remodel your skin today. TaylorMade Health is focused on making sure you're able to perform and look your best. They are a leader in game-changing supplements and cosmetic products. Whether you want to increase strength, expedite recovery, facilitate soft tissue repair, or reduce deep wrinkles, TaylorMade Health has you covered. TaylorMade Health is also the home to Dr. Seed's products such as BPC, BPC Plus, and the Chill Pill. All of my listeners can now get 20% off their first order with code TRY20. That's TRY20. This code can even be used on subscription orders. Visit shrnetwork.biz/try20 today and use code TRY20 for 20% off your first order.
Egg whites.
If there is one mineral you should be worried about not getting enough of, it's magnesium. Magnesium is the body's master mineral, powering over 300 critical reactions, including detoxification, fat metabolism, energy, and even digestion is influenced by the presence of magnesium. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about a new magnesium product I've been taking now called Magnesium Breakthrough. It's the ultimate magnesium supplement, easily the best I've ever seen or experienced. With all seven forms of magnesium, I was able to arrange an amazing deal for my audience, and I guarantee it's the best deal available on this product. Seriously, with volume discounts combined with our custom 10% coupon code SHR10, you can save up to 40% off select packages of Magnesium Breakthrough. And I promise that this deal is only available on this specific website, magbreakthrough.com/SHR. You won't find that deal on Amazon or even on the company's own website. Go to magbreakthrough.com/SHR and use code SHR10 to save up to 40% off select packages of Magnesium Breakthrough. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We got lots more questions to answer later in the show. We'll get to everybody's question. But first, we have to get on with these. So Joe Lash says, in your opinion, what is the best thing to do in order to avoid injuries? I have a football scholarship and feel invincible right now, but realize nobody really is.
Well, the first thing I'd tell you is to stop playing football, but that's obviously not an option here. Football is obviously a very, very physical sport. And we're getting a lot of new data, right, on things like CTE,
TBI,
so he's correct, or is smart rather, to be considering this now, right, before he has in any one of these injuries. That being said, there really is no one thing, right, that's going to do it. Instead, I look at it as it's a collection of little things. So in no particular order, here they are. First, I would understand how to balance activity with recovery and have planned blocks of downtime, let's say a week to 10 days off, and stick to it. Why? Because the simple fact of the matter is that many injuries, I would go so far as to say most, are overuse injuries, plain overuse. When you're playing football in season, don't do, you know, too much heavy powerlifting, right? Your friends might all be lifting 5 days a week. That's nice. But you're probably going to do better on two or three, even at a young age, you know, in your early 20s. Sure, there are some people that can get away with training, you know, very, very frequently for long stretches of time. Eventually, it catches up with them for this reason. Carl and I were discussing this before. I can train my muscles to get bigger and stronger even at age 51. What I can't do is do the same for my connective tissue. So if you're young, yeah, you might be able to swing it, but it's going to catch up. Why not get right into a zone now where you have more recovery versus less. And that goes for psychological stressors too, right? Like if you're in college playing football, then you're probably studying hard to keep your grades up. You're studying the football playbook, and you're having ups and downs with one or more girlfriends, right? That is all going to contribute to it. Yeah. And all of that plus the scatterbrained existence that we live today in this technological revolution crushes your ability to focus and concentrate. And why is that important? Because when you lose your concentration on a squat, or you lose your focus on a bench press or heavy bench press or deadlift, presto, there's your injury, right? And focus and concentration is a skill. And like any other skill, it gets better with practice. So, you know, keep stress to a minimum and practice. As far as the focus and concentration thing goes, you know, there's the candle drill, the dot inside the circle drill, or simply visualizing success either on the field or in the weight room. 10 minutes a day. Everybody can find 10 minutes a day. Ideally, right before you go to bed, that will, you know, it'll also help you unwind. That's another benefit of it. Just focusing and concentrating on things, on one thing. What else can help you? A good chiropractor, in my opinion, can be gold, right? And if you're headed to Division I, I would be surprised if they don't already have one on staff. You know, maybe they have that down to the D3 level now. I don't know. Find a good chiro, make friends with them. Listening to your body is huge, right? So young or old, it's going to give you, your body's going to give you little warning signs that things just aren't right. You're going to notice a disinclination to train. Probably that's one of the first things. Oh boy, we got to go to the gym again. It's Thursday. It's leg day. 5 sets of 5. Once your brain starts sending those kind of signals, overtraining has already set in. It may not be, you know, too detrimental yet, but that in my experience is the first sign. So those are the subjective signs. On the objective side, one thing that everybody can benefit from is knowing your waking morning pulse rate. Get a baseline over 7 days and just take it every day before you get out of bed, right? And now our phones and wristwatches do this for us now, or at least you can rig something up, even the old-fashioned way with a wristwatch. Before you get out of bed, take how many beats per minute, take that measurement, do it 3 times and take an average. Once you've done that for 7 days, you know, come up with that figure and divide by 7, there's your average. Periodically after that, you want to measure it, right? Once or twice, you know, or once every third or fourth day, you know. Once it reaches, here's the threshold. Once that measurement is 8 beats or more above baseline, you're definitely overtraining and it's time to take some time off, or at the very least, deload. And then finally, I would tell you, decision making. You need to make good, smart decisions. There was a very talented wrestler that I knew in college, and he went on spring break, and while he was drunk, he dove headfirst into the shallow end of his hotel's pool. You can probably figure out how the rest of that story went. And it's a sad story, but it was all as a result of making, right, a poor decision. Train hard, but train smart. Live your life on the so-called straight edge, free of alcohol, drugs, again, things that can result in bad decisions. Live ethically. Don't let bad things creep inside you. Over time, that they're going to subvert everything that you are as a human being. So just stay away from them. And does that have something to do with injuries? It absolutely does. those things creep inside of you, it increases your propensity to get an injury. And never forget this. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Truer words were never spoken, in my opinion. So, tend to prevention rather than acute treatment of symptoms, which by that time it's usually too late.
I would add two things to this. So if you're in college and you're playing football, then chances are your coach is setting the tempo that the team trains at. You know, they're telling you got to be at practice tomorrow morning, and you got a lot of late night studying and all this other stuff, and you may not have control over the tempo of your training, but you do have control over how much you eat. Two good studies now show there's no such thing as overtraining. It's only undereating. If you're eating enough, you'll never be overtrained. That's the God's honest truth. This is why people like Michael Phelps, everybody, whenever I say Michael Phelps, yeah, but he ate junk. It doesn't matter. He ate 5 to 8,000 calories a day. He swam all day. He was never overtrained. Why? Because he ate. So you have control over what you eat. Eat good quality foods, potatoes, steak, chicken, fish. Make sure to get your fish, your salmon, your omega-3s, because you're asking about TBI and stuff like that. If you're thinking about TBI and CTE, your brain needs those omega-3s to rebuild tissue. Number two, your school's not going to pay for this, but I'm telling you, if you do this, you'll stay out of harm's way. Before you start playing, go in and get your labs done. Testosterone, estradiol, and make sure it's a high-sensitivity estradiol that is more appropriate for men than women. Progesterone, DHEA. Get a good male hormone lab done, because testosterone protects the brain from injury in men. If you get your bell rung and your testosterone is starting to get lower and lower, you're not going to have the protection. That's why all these guys, they come out of the NFL, they're all getting on hormone replacement therapy now. They're getting, oh my God, I'm not delusional anymore. I feel better. I'm not talking crazy. I feel better. Because what happens is it's a vicious cycle. You get your bell rung and now your hormones start to drop.
Yeah.
Your hormones start to drop, and when you get your bell rung, there's more damage done. So if you go in and you get labs done now and you go, wow, look at that. My testosterone is 780 and my DHEA is 382, and you have something now to go to. Now you're playing, you're eating, you're sleeping, the tempo's picking up, and you're not feeling yourself. You go and you have your labs done. All of a sudden, you find out your testosterone's dropped 300 nanograms a deciliter, and you're like, wow, what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Your bell's getting rung, and your pituitary's getting messed up, and your hormone levels are dropping, your thyroid. Listen, Muhammad Ali developed Parkinsona pugilista. This is Parkinson's disease that lots of the old-time boxers used to get from getting punched in the head too much. It happened to him when they knew his thyroid had tanked. He was having thyroid hormone problems. If your thyroid is tanked, you're not producing any testosterone, because thyroid and testosterone go hand in hand. They're reciprocals. So Dana White over at the UFC, he makes sure that these guys watch their testosterone levels, because when their testosterone levels drop and they get kneed in the head, that's when they end up with brain damage. So watch your hormones. Yeah. Those are going to be the canary in the mine if you're suffering damage. And obviously at your age, you probably aren't going to want to get on HRT. You may have to think about quitting football, to be honest with you. And the other thing is that there is no such thing as overtraining. There's only undereating, and you have control of what you eat. There you go. Those are the only two things I wanted to add to the discussion. All right, let's go to some of these other questions now. We have lots of them. Let's see. The last one was the Delta 8. Yeah, Aiden Ray wants to know, speaking of creatine, price is going up as of recent. Which brand are you using most often? Bulk Sups, EFX, Optimum Nutrition. What do you think?
Well, first I have a question. How much could it possibly be going up? I haven't looked at prices.
Well, fuel prices are affecting everything. Even if it wasn't, if there wasn't a lack of production during COVID, everything's going up because of the cost of gasoline.
Yeah, if you're using creatine mono, the stuff from, I think it's ALB in Germany. I don't know if they're still using the Creapure name.
Creapure, yeah, still there.
And so that's what I would use there. Crealkaline, obviously, Dr. Galini EFX's products. They've always been more expensive. However, they allow you to use far less and still get the same benefits. And then finally, creatine hydrochloride is a compound that I use in Progenidrex. And there, I'm not aware that there's a branded name that's preferred. I get my stuff in Progenidrex, so I can't really give you a brand name there. But those are the three types of creatine that I would use. And even if monohydrate doubles, you know, before you could get a kilo of micronized stuff for about $20.
Right, so now it's 40, right. Right.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's 40 or 60, it's still going to last you forever, and it's a good deal. Stuff works.
I buy mine at bulksupplements.com, and sometimes I buy it at Vitacost when they have kilos on sale. There's always going to be inexpensive creatine out there, I predict. Okay, so the next question I want to get up here is from Ryan asking, when is the water-based testosterone going to hit the market? It's stalled right now. We're still working on it. It wasn't shelf stable, the last one. It did start to come out of solution. But Justin Kirkland has found a new vehicle, and we're experimenting with it now. So we're moving forward on it. It will be out. It just, I can't tell you when right now. But it will be out. Let's see here. Scott Lawler says, I'll chill on commenting, just enjoying hearing others talk about this stuff. I'm not sure what he's said that about. Maybe we could pick that back up and he can answer that. Here's a question I love from Craig Hollander. He says, which are the best natural aromatase inhibitors? You want to take a stab at this first?
Arimidex.
That's not natural.
I'm not sure that there's one that's as effective as what most people want it to be. I haven't seen blood work on it, but the natural options in question that I've seen discussed, trans-resveratrol, grapeseed extract, and I think there was one other, I don't know, it might have been stinging nettle. To what extent do they work, or do they work at all? That's a tough call. I guess I would first ask, you know, why is it a concern? If you're taking excess amounts of testosterone, it may be that just lowering the amount of testosterone works because, as you know, excess test is converted to estrogen via the aromatase enzyme. I'm not sure we have a really good natural solution.
There are. I can tell you what they're going to be right now.
Okay.
But here's the problem with this question. Men don't have enough estradiol in most cases, unless they're obese. Because the more fat you have, the more aromatase you have, and the more aromatase you have, the more of your testosterone is being siphoned off to estradiol. And that's the real problem with obese men in our population today. And estradiol is protective of the brain, and it's the reason why men develop Parkinson's disease fivefold more often than women until women go through menopause and their estradiol levels drop.
So
I would only use natural aromatase inhibitors, and here's why I say this. Because you can't artificially suppress your estradiol levels with natural alternatives. You can with things like aromatase inhibitors like Arimidex and what was the one that everybody played around with, DDT? What was it? What was that stuff that everybody crushed there? Estradiol levels with didn't it have some letters? I can't think of it now.
Yeah, it was a three-letter thing.
ADT.
ADT, right. Absolutely destroyed my libido.
Yeah, and everybody's.
And tendons.
And left your brain, and left your brain open for harm, by the way. So the most effective, and I'm going to explain why, natural aromatase inhibitors are anything that reduce the production of cyclooxygenase. Anything that, even NSAIDs, although I won't recommend you take NSAIDs, anything that shuts down COX-1 and COX-2 stops the production of the aromatase enzyme, because in the cytochrome P450 cascade in your liver, cyclooxygenase is the precursor to aromatase. So the more inflammation your body has, the more aromatase you make. The more aromatase you make, the more estradiol you make. So things like ginger, curcumin, golden. Because and omega-3s from fish, I prefer fish over supplements, golden. Because these reduce cyclooxygenase production. They put the fire out in the body. And inadvertently, they also reduce the production of aromatase because there's less donor enzymes to produce aromatase. Two other things that work very well, but I wouldn't take loads of either of them, is vitamin C and zinc. Zinc is a natural aromatase inhibitor, but you can only take so much. But that's the beauty of the natural aromatase inhibitors. They work to a point, and then they stop. And that's where the pharmaceutical drugs take up and crush your estradiol. But I would turn to anything that reduces cyclooxygenase production, and that could be your favorite herb. Curcumin definitely does. Ginger definitely does. Fish oil definitely does. So I would start with those, and that will absolutely lower your estradiol levels to healthy levels, but it's not going to crush them like some of these other things. And yeah, Scott Lawler is echoing my concerns also. So there you go. Well, go ahead,
and,
Rob.
And lowering inflammation, not information, lowering inflammation is only going to help most people, not eradicating it totally, as with estrogen, right? Then you have problems. But lowering inflammation is key. And the reason for that is simple. Inflammation is either the root cause or exacerbates almost any medical condition that you can mention.
That's right.
So reducing it is going to help. And in this case, it sounds like it'll be an anti-aromatase.
I am producing a daily testosterone injection working with Justin Kirkland. He is the genius behind so many of other people's pharmaceutical products out there. And we'll have it to market by the end of this year. We're not going to use beta-cyclodextrins, but this is injectable. And it will have a peak in the morning, and it'll be gone in about 12 hours. So it will act more like natural testosterone production. It's actually called Nature Rhythm, once daily testosterone. I've got the trademark on that, and we're coming to market with it. Any stance on suicide versus non-suicide inhibitors? I got myself into trouble with androstenedione back in the day. You can tie up enough aromatase quickly with the suicide inhibitor that the what ends up happening, and Dr. Mauro DiPasquale is the one that actually helped me figure this out. Earlier I talked about long-acting gonadotropin-releasing hormones crushing your testosterone levels. Well, using high levels of suicide inhibitors, which bind up aromatase indefinitely, actually makes your body produce more and more and more testosterone until it can't produce any more testosterone. If you're using them by themselves, if you're using them in conjunction with high doses of testosterone, I wouldn't use them unless you verified that you're a high aromatizer. I am not a high aromatizer. Through 2012, 2013, I was doing 2 grams of test a week, a gram of DECA, 600 milligrams of Tren-Nth, handful of orals here and there. And I didn't need an aromatase inhibitor at all. My estradiol levels never went over 80. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I am not a high aromatizer, but I'm a high 5-alpha reducer. I turn testosterone into DHT. real fast, which gives me a lot more strength and aggression and stuff like that. But if you're dark-skinned, you're going to be a higher 5-alpha reducer. If you're fair-skinned, you may be a higher aromatizer. But I don't like any aromatase inhibitor unless you are absolutely sure, not just by labs, but by symptoms. Are you getting puffy nipples? Are you moody? You know, do you feel something is wrong? And even then, I've only ever experimented with a 0.5 milligram every third day of anastrozole. 0.5 milligram every third day. So just a total of 1 milligram a week. But it made my estradiol levels so low because they were never high to begin with. And I just stopped.
Yeah. And left unsaid is, you know, the way it crushes lipids too, right?
Oh, yeah. It totally screws up your cholesterol levels. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you don't need that.
And sex drive, by the way.
What? Yeah. No, not on 2 grams of test a week.
Well, no, but ADT will certainly do.
Yeah, that stuff was horrible. What about Boswellia? You think that's a powerful anti-inflammatory?
Yeah, well, I think it's one of the more efficacious, I guess I'll call it, anti-inflammatory. So, you know, Boswellia, curcumin, ginger, as you said, all of those things are going to help. With respect to suicide inhibitors, I never fooled around with them because I recall reading something about, and I'm not sure if this was 6-oxo or something else, irreversible, they used the word irreversible, suicide inhibitor, something. And I just looked at that and said, you know what? If I take something and if I screw up with it, I don't want it to be irreversible. So I never touched those products.
Yeah, that's smart.
Last
question, and I love it. I've actually done shows about this. John Pages is asking, does HRT allow the body to take in more protein than normally suggested per meal? Some say more than 20 grams is wasted. Is this true on HRT? It's not even true if you're not on HRT. It's complete bullshit. You know, somewhere along the line, people were looking at the protein synthetic response of protein. So protein synthesis from a protein meal. And some study on rodents showed that feeding them more than 20 grams, or maybe it was on humans, 20 grams did not increase the signaling to build more muscle. So that became, well, anything more than 20 grams per sitting is wasted. It's not wasted. It goes into amino acid pools. Proteins are broken down into amino acids and used for a plethora of functions in your body. The stupidest statement that keeps going around and around, John, is that anything more than 20 grams is wasted. And the idea that you can't take it in, unless you are shitting out whole pieces of undigested chicken and pork and tuna, it's being digested and used. And I'm sorry to be so vulgar, but I have to be honest with you. And John, I'm not. This is not directed to you. It's directed to the bro science mill out there that keeps this idiotic statement circulating. You use proteins to make glucose, for Christ's sake. You use amino acids as part of a syntax of proteins that are made. Growth hormone, 191 amino acids. You know, BPC, it's amino acids. Everything's amino acids. So, yes, you can eat. I eat 60 grams of protein per meal. I've been doing this for years now. Yeah. And I'm doing great. And I'm 63 this year. And what does HRT add to the discussion? HRT increases the protein synthetic response from the protein you're eating. So you'll get a better anabolic response from your proteins. But you can eat as much protein as you want, as much as you can digest, as much as you feel comfortable with or without HRT. And the more protein you eat, the older you get, the better off you're going to be, because the more muscle you keep on this carcass, the longer you're going to live. That's the important thing.
You said it. You took the words right out of my mouth. You know, doctors know it, and people should know it. there is a strong correlation between the amount of lean body mass that you have and mortality, life or death. And one of the best ways to do that is ingesting lots of protein. And also, to your point, proteins and amino acids are used for so many things other than just growing muscles.
And I have to give Justin Kirkland props. He's not only the person behind Dr. Seed's BPC pills, but he's also behind the DHHB. And it's very sad. People stole Justin Kirkland's thunder because they didn't come forth and say Justin Kirkland made this. So they acted like it was their invention, and they allowed that lie to perpetuate, kind of like the 20 grams of protein is the most that you can eat. Justin Kirkland is a genius, and he's behind more products than you could ever imagine coming out of compounding pharmacies, for everything from pellets that compounding pharmacies sell for HRT to some really radical compounds. But I am so happy that I'm working with him on this project, because I wouldn't trust anybody else to do it. And I am openly saying he's the brains behind it. Now, I've contributed a lot, and he will tell you that. I've planted some ideas in his head that made him search and go, oh, yeah, we can do this. But the guy is brilliant. Yes, he's behind the BPC pills. He's behind the DHHB. He's behind everything that TaylorMade / Dr. Seed's brand puts out. It's him. He's the genius. And by the way, you can buy BPC 157 from Peptide Sciences and just squirt it in your mouth and have the same results as buying the BPC pills, just for the record. A lot of people don't realize that. You don't have to buy the pills if you don't want a pin. You can buy the pinnable stuff and squirt it in your mouth and just swallow your saliva. Okay. We have to take a break, and now we have the blueprint tip of the day. Stick around. Don't forget, listen during the commercial break and see if you hear the secret word. We'll be right back.
Being superhuman means being conscientious about the choices we make. White Oak Pastures is superhuman when it comes to raising livestock. They're committed to animal welfare, land regeneration, and rural revival. They responsibly manage the entire process from the pasture to your doorstep. High quality, pasture raised, great tasting meat from a farm you can trust. Full nose to tail selections. They even have options for your pet. Go to shrnetwork.biz/whiteoak and use code SHR20 to save 20% off your entire first order.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Egg whites. Every day, there's a new wellness trend. Eat that. Do this. Avoid those. How do you know where to start or who to trust? Inside Tracker helps you cut through the noise by analyzing your blood, your DNA, your lifestyle, and your fitness tracker to provide you with a science-backed, trackable action plan on how to live, age, and perform better. Personalized one-size-fits-one recommendations to help you optimize you. For a limited time, Inside Tracker is offering Superhuman Radio listeners 25% off the entire store. Go to shrnetwork.biz/InsideTracker, InsideTracker, to save 25% off. Change begins on the inside. Remember those rectangular toaster pastries you used to love when you were a kid? Well, Legendary Foods has just made them better. The new cake-style tasty pastry is like nothing you've ever had before. With 20 grams of high-quality protein and less than 1 gram of sugar, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to shrnetwork.biz/legendary and use the code SHR10 to save 10% off your purchase. of tasty pastries. Now available in cookies and cream, red velvet cake, birthday cake, blueberry, strawberry, brown sugar cinnamon, and hot fudge sundae. Go to shrnetwork.biz/legendary and use code SHR10 today. If there is one mineral you should be worried about not getting enough of, it's magnesium. Magnesium is the body's master mineral, powering over 300 critical reactions, including detoxification, fat metabolism, energy, and even digestion is influenced by the presence of magnesium. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about a new magnesium product I've been taking now called Magnesium Breakthrough. It's the ultimate magnesium supplement, easily the best I've ever seen or experienced. With all 7 forms of magnesium, I was able to arrange an amazing deal for my audience, and I guarantee it's the best deal available on this product. Seriously, with volume discounts combined with our custom 10% coupon code SHR10, you can save up to 40% off select packages of Magnesium Breakthrough. And I promise that this deal is only available on this specific website, magbreakthrough.com/SHR. You won't find that deal on Amazon or even on the company's own website. Go to magbreakthrough.com/SHR and use code SHR10 to save up to 40% off select packages of Magnesium Breakthrough.
TaylorMade Health is focused on making sure you're able to perform and look your best. They are a leader in game-changing supplements and cosmetic products. Whether you want to increase strength, expedite recovery, facilitate soft tissue repair, or reduce deep wrinkles, TaylorMade Health has you covered. TaylorMade Health is also the home to Dr. Seed's products such as BPC, BPC Plus, and the Chill Pill. All of my listeners can now get 20% off their first order with code TRY20. That's TRY20. This code can even be used on subscription orders. Visit shrnetwork.biz/try20 today and use code TRY20 for 20% off your first order.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
I had the mic open while I was clearing my throat. My allergies are going crazy right now. Everything is growing in Louisville. Okay. What is the blueprint tip of the day, Coach?
The tip of the day has to do with what it really takes to be hitting on all cylinders in this sport. And I'll define that as strength training. I think it covers everything. It is not an easy sport to excel in, mostly due to the fact that your body is still wired for survival, right? And not building lots of muscle and losing lots of fat. Doubly so if you want to do that simultaneously, like a lot of the kids that I talk to in the gym. The fact is, building muscle and losing fat is way down on your body's priority list, with survival has been, still is, and likely will remain your body's priority now and in the future. And so, as such, you need to have everything just so to be hitting on all cylinders and making progress, right? Because let's face it, going to the gym isn't fun when you're stuck, or even worse, you know, going backwards. Over the years, I have learned that making consistent progress in this game is part science, part art. It's not overly complex like rocket science, but a good dash of both is necessary to succeed. And that can be seen in the nature of progress itself in strength training. How often do gains come predictably or with known regularity? Almost never. You know, it generally will come in spurts. And your job then is to be there to catch that wave and ride it as long as possible. So let's talk about what it takes to, you know, really make progress and have everything in order. Training-wise, and I put that always at the top of the list, arguably the most important variable, I'll put a stick in the ground concerning getting stronger and suggest that you do too. It doesn't matter what form of strength training you're pursuing, getting stronger is going to help you get there. Think about it logically. Whoever built bigger muscles getting weaker. All right, it doesn't happen. So whether you're bulking, cutting, or somewhere in the middle, getting stronger is only going to help. In fact, like I said, it's pretty much a prerequisite. What is problematic is, how do you measure that? And so there are a number of ways you can do it. Total tonnage training, one rep max, et cetera, et cetera. But you need to have a method to measure that. So some math is involved in most of that. And if I can do it, anybody in the world can do it. And so that kind of represents the science as I described it. The art in strength training deals with some other things, not the least of which is understanding the subtle nuances of what's known as NMA, or neuromuscular activation. You can see this phenomenon when, for example, squats, right? Squats have a much higher NMA, potential to stimulate muscle growth, versus leg extensions, or even an exercise where you can use more weight and a lot more weight, leg presses. And so the reason for this is that whenever you move the body and weight through space simultaneously, your mind and nervous system, NMA, is at a very, very high activation level. And you can use that, you can apply it to just about, you know, every exercise, or at least consider it. Another part of the art to this, so to speak, is knowing when to push things and knowing when to back off. And what makes this difficult is, depending upon a number of factors, it's a moving target, right? Which can make getting a handle on it difficult. Difficult, however, is not impossible. And the more you train, the better you'll get at it, sensing when to push things and when to back off. Diet, obviously a huge consideration. Many people would put this at the top of the list. People do best, in my opinion, by zigzagging caloric intake. And so that's true whether you're bulking up, cutting down, or recomping. Different macros can also be used for different goals. You can even, you know, your meal patterning, everything from intermittent fasting to six small meals a day, you know, all of those other particulars matter. But zigzagging calories is the framework within which all of those other approaches are amplified, in my opinion. So like training, consistency is the key. It won't work if you do it for a day, a few days, or haphazardly over longer periods of time. It takes weeks, months, or even years of zigzagging calories to know what works best for you. The old metrics, when it came in pouches in the box, used to have a little training and diet book. And the most valuable part of that, in my opinion, was a table which showed you, based upon your weight, roughly what your maintenance calories are for the day, what 70% of that is, and what 120% is. And consequently, you could use that information to achieve your goals faster and more consistently. Next, we get to sleep, almost everybody's boogeyman, so to speak. Individual needs for sleep vary, but generally speaking, most people that are strength training need between 7 and 9 hours of consistent sleep to make optimal progress. Key words there, consistent and optimal. Problem is, if you are an ectomorph and you're already not set up to gain muscle easily, if you throw in just one or two late nights a week, and especially if you add alcohol, it can ruin whatever progress that you were hoping to make. Here's the short answer. Do whatever you need to do to get a good night's sleep, but do not take prescription sleeping pills. Benzos and Ambien are at the top of the list for big no-nos. Benzos are dementia in a bottle. You will not be, if you take enough of them long enough, you won't be able to remember where you parked your car when you went grocery shopping. And as far as Ambien goes, read the studies, look at the data. It increases cancer risk, even if you're taking it, for a week out of the year, dramatic increase in cancer.
I want to mention something about benzos. So do you know they now use benzos? So if you have a traumatic event, you're raped, you witness your father be murdered, they now give you benzos as close immediately after the event. And they'll give them to you for the following week. And the event becomes foggy. Like, hey, I can't connect to it anymore. I'm not as upset about it. Think about that. You just said it's dementia in a bottle. It is. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. And the sad thing is, if you look at the studies that the pharmaceutical companies did on rodents, they knew it from the get-go.
Yeah. They forgot where they hid their cheese.
they forgot a lot of things. And you will forget where you parked your car. Yeah. So, definitely stay away from those. Sleep, however, is obviously one of the other big ones. Finally, we get to supplements. And so despite what the ads will tell you, they are not necessary to make progress. And the supplement industry, if you think about it, they have a vested interest in your frustration and stagnation or plateaus, whatever you want to call it. Did you hit a plateau or you can't get that last 5 pounds of fat off? There's a pill for that. There are many different pills for it. It won't correct the fundamental, right, that's out of whack, whatever it is. But the ads will sure give you that impression. So that's the kind of the bad side of supplements. On the other hand, certain supplements can certainly make things easier. So, for example, it's a lot easier to hit your protein intake for the day, particularly anything above 1 gram per pound, with protein powder. Right, versus whole foods. You're going to be doing a lot of chewing on a lot of meat and a lot of chicken, and that's not fun, at least in the longer term. Other supplements can dramatically increase your recovery. We discussed it before, and that allows you to train more frequently, right, productively anyway, which leads to faster progress. Or there are supplements that temporarily increase your training intensity that allow you to lift a little bit more during every workout. So you could think of those as indirect anabolics. You use those supplements for the same reason that we send texts today instead of smoke signals, because we're willing to use technology to achieve our goals, right, faster and more efficiently. So different than what many people will tell you. On one side, they'll say supplements aren't necessary and they're a complete waste, which isn't entirely true. And on the other hand, they'll say these supplements can, correct whatever problem it is that you have. And that isn't true. However, they can be very useful in helping you achieve certain targets, like I said before, protein intake for the day. So, in summary, you need to get all of that right, or at least most of it. And you need to do it week in, week out, in order to make meaningful progress. And so, again, since survival is number one on your body's priority list, and not bodybuilding, certainly, it requires a certain lifestyle, right? Which involves a hell of a lot of elbow grease, discipline, sacrifice, whatever else you know what I'm saying. And without that, your chances of success in this game are about as likely as bumping into Louis Simmons and Planet Fitness. It's just not going to happen. So I hope I've given you some insight as to what's needed to make progress. I would tell you to get motivated, get educated, and get going. Because the demands are great. It doesn't happen overnight. But I will tell you this, too. The rewards are even greater. Especially,
be patient.
Yeah, when you're hitting on all cylinders.
Yeah, and be patient. Like you said, it doesn't happen overnight. People's expectations. I was thinking about this morning on the way here. My expectations are by this time next year to reach a certain goal. And the reality is that the supplement industry and who knows what else, wishful thinking, makes people think that they're going to hit extremely hard to reach goals in 3 to 6 months. And the reality is you just have to do it until you're done. You know, don't even put a time frame. Just say, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to do this until I get there. If it takes 3 years, it takes a year, whatever it takes, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, and you know, you said it. Don't necessarily put a deadline on you, because for a lot of folks, including me, if you get to the deadline and it doesn't happen for some reason, you feel terrible about yourself. So, you know, be realistic. One of my long-term goals, Carl and I discussed this before we got on air, one of my long-term goals is to be able to do a handstand push-up on my fingertips. Now, after a lot of hard work, I'm able to do fingertip push-ups. But obviously, the difference between the amount of stress that your hand absorbs in that movement is far less than what you would see in a handstand, because you're, you know, the fingers would be carrying 100% of the body weight. Mm-hmm. So the only other thing I'll tell you about fingertip work is this. It more or less forces you to use very, very good form. And, you know, you can't rush the tempo. It's going to be slower going down and even pushing up, at least in the beginning. And so for me, that was an eye opener. And, you know, and all things considered, it's really helped me. And the day is coming where I will be able to do a handstand push-up on my fingertips. However, it's not going to be today. It's not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be anytime soon. But I'm going to keep hammering away at it until I get it. And when I do, I'll post a video of it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks to everybody who participated in today's show. Don't forget, if you heard the secret word, email it along with your mailing address to onair@superhumanradio.net. Ron Penna, the most generous man in the world, has allowed me to give away as many boxes as I want. So it's up to you. If you want a box, just send an email. And thank you for all the wonderful questions. Those of you who show up and participate make this show so much more than it would be with just Rob and I. And I really appreciate all the questions. And if I sound like I'm angry sometimes, it's just me. I'm angry.
It's because you are.
I'm really pissed off. I just don't know what. No, but I feel bad about the way I answered the question about the 20 grams of protein. It's just that this keeps coming around over and over again. And it's sad because a lot of people think it's true that you can't synthesize. You can't digest or whatever you want to call it or utilize more than 20 grams of protein a sitting. It's just nonsense, and it's got to die. I wish we could just put a stake in the heart of that stupid statement and be done with it, really.
And just try to think logically. You know, the sedentary person who weighs 100 pounds, yeah, he might be limited to 20 grams. But what about the guy who's 220 who's been fasting all day and he just got home from the workout?
And fasting probably has a – makes the leucine and protein trigger a greater muscle building response. That's the truth. That's why I love training fasted.
Yeah, I know this. At the very least, it makes it more efficient, which is to say, you'll hang on to more muscle with you can hang on to as much muscle with about half the amount of protein as you can eating frequently. That's my experience.
I'm pretty sure Joel Green and I did a show about that myth. About the 20 grams of protein, if you search the archives. All right, look, thanks for being here. Thanks for participating. Coach Rob, thank you for being here. We'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Stay strong.